السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى does not want to punish anyone. He doesn't want to send anyone to Jannah. But Allah سبحانه وتعالى is just, and justice demands that the criminal be punished. Justice demands that there is a difference between a person who is a criminal and the person who has not done any crime. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish those who are criminals. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to punish anyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so many opportunities for a person to rectify his ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for excuses to forgive a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives opportunities after opportunities for a person to change his ways. Out of these opportunities and these excuses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to forgive a person and to make a person change his ways are special times and special moments which He gives us. The day of Jumu'ah is a special time which comes every week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses as an opportunity that those people who don't bother turning up at His doorstep the entire week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the thought in their heart as well that we should go for the Jumu'ah Salah. Just think about it for a moment. 5 salah every day. And 7 days in a week. So 35 salah. Apart from the Jumu'ah salah, 34 salah. There are people who only perform the Jumu'ah salah. So from one Jumu'ah salah until the next Jumu'ah salah, they miss 34 salah. But such is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that the next Jumu'ah, He still gives them the tawfiq to come into the masjid. This is what we mean by opportunities. So the example of the Jumu'ah Salah on the day of Jumu'ah is a weekly opportunity. And then there are many opportunities that come annually. One of them is the month of Ramadan, which we discussed on Sunday. And the topic of today's discussion is the 15th night of Sha'ban. The 15th night of Sha'ban will fall on, for some it will fall on next Monday night, for some it will fall next Tuesday night. If it had fallen for everyone either Tuesday night, then we could have discussed this topic next week, and then it would have been fresh. But because for some it will fall on Monday night, then we will have to discuss it today. Here I should mention that whenever there is a difference of opinion amongst ulama, let us take a step back. Wherever there is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama, there are two types of differences. One type of difference is where majority on one side, 90% of ulama on one side, 95% of ulama on one side, there are only a few ulama on the taking this opinion. There a person should always side with the majority. But if you have a health condition, and you go and consult 5 different experts. Like in professional physics, you say, take a second opinion, take a third opinion. And 4 of them are saying one thing. 4 of them are saying that you should have an operation. And one of them is saying, no, operation will be dangerous for you. Rather, you should not have an operation, you should take this medicine. And every person will understand that the majority of opinion is the one I should take. Yes, he will take precaution, he will double check and make sure, is there any harm? But he will always, when there is a vast majority on one side, then a person should always take that opinion. This is the first thing to understand. A person, the second type of difference of opinion between the ulama is where there is a decent group on either side. Maybe there is more on one side, maybe it is 60% here, 40% here, but there is a decent group of ulama on either side. In this case, regarding neither opinion, should a person say that this is correct and the people who are following this opinion, they are incorrect? Because both groups of ulama are saying what they truly believe is haqq. The first group of ulama let me give you a very simple example. According to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi, if blood flows from a person's body, his wudu is not broken. And according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, if blood flows from a person's body, wudu is broken. And both of them have Imam Shafi'i and Imam Abu Hanifa are two famous names. But otherwise there are many ulama on both sides. Now Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi said that because he truly believes that is haqq. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi has said that because he truly believes that is haqq. And wherever there is a difference of opinion between the ulama, then understand that the reason for this is that because this mas'ala is not clear cut from the Quran and the hadith. If the mas'ala was clear cut, there would be no difference of opinion. There would be no room for a difference of opinion. Salah is compulsory. 5 times salah is compulsory. Those mas'ala are clear cut. That is why there is no difference of opinion. So, where the answer is not clear cut in the Quran, the Hadith, why? There would be many reasons for that, which we are not going into because that is a lengthy topic. But there will be a difference of opinion. There will be, like I said, sizable groups on both sides. There, a person should not say that either opinion is incorrect. Yes. He should stick fast to whatever opinion he is holding. There, neither opinion is incorrect. But there is one thing that is incorrect. The one thing that is incorrect is choosing whatever opinion you feel like whenever you feel like. Today blood started. You have decided that I am a Hanafi, so you are following Abu Hanifa, that is right. You are not incorrect. You have decided you are a Shafi'i. In fact, the reason no one is given a decision is that some places there are Hanafi ulama, it is impossible for you to become a Shafi'i. Then who are you going to ask for a masala if you want to become a Shafi'i? So there you become a Hanafi. And so some people, there are majority Shafi'i ulama, where are you going to find a Hanafi alim from? There you become a Shafi'i. So, but whichever opinion you follow, it is fine. But what is incorrect is picking and choosing. Today blood came out of my body and I didn't feel like making wudu, so I've decided to follow the opinion of Imam Shafi'i. And then tomorrow in some other masjid, I'm following Imam Abu Hanifa. The reason this is correct is because in that situation, you are not actually following Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi'i. You are following your own desires. And following your own desires is what is incorrect. So back to the topic, for some people, the 15th of Sha'ban will fall on Monday night, the night after Monday, and for some people, it will fall on the night after Tuesday. And this night has great virtues. The name of the night in the hadith is Laylatul Bara'a. In Gujarati, we change everything. We distort everything. So we say Laylatul Shabi Barat. Shab means night. And Barat, the Arabic word is actually Bara'a. And Bara'a means freedom and emancipation. And this night is called Laylatul Bara'a because on this night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees a very large number of people from the fire of Jahannam. How many people? We cannot put a number to it, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make us understand how many number of people are forgiven on this night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the tribe Banu Kalb, was the tribe in the Arabian Peninsula who had the most sheep, who were known for having a very large flock of sheep. So he said the tribe of Banu Kalb, their sheep, which are very large in number, all the hair on the sheep of the of Banu Kalb, if it is totaled up, counting putting a number to the number to the hair of the wool on one sheep is impermissible. Is impossible. It would go probably go within the millions. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all the sheep of Banu Kalb, all the hair put together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more souls than Laylatul on this one night from Jahannam than this number. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night looks for excuses to forgive people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for excuses to forgive a person, that means that only the most wretched people will be the people who are not forgiven. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has listed a few people who will not be forgiven even on this night. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has listed six people. Six people, or you can say six sins, which put a person in the list of people who even on this night will not be forgiven. What is this list? The first person, the person who does not have iman. The person who does not have iman is a condition for a person to be forgiven. So this is alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted all iman. May he keep us steadfast on iman. May he keep our iman safe until the last breath. The second person, that person who harbors hatred for another Muslim. This sin is something connected to the heart. It is not visible. But this sin is so grave in the eyes of Allah that he goes into the category of the person who is a non-Muslim in the sense that he cannot be forgiven on this night. Third person, the one who cuts off ties from relatives without a shar'i reason. He cuts off ties from one of his close relatives. These are sins that we take very lightly. Hatred in the heart of a person if a person doesn't perform his salah, every person thinks that is major. Hatred in the heart of no one thinks it is major. Cutting off ties from family relatives. You and your brother haven't spoken. You had an argument and for a year you haven't spoken. You refuse to meet him, he refuses to meet you. Very common, and people take these things very lightly. Whereas in the eyes of Allah, these things are very weighty. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the one who cuts off ties of kinship does not enter paradise. And when you tell people, they say that he is doing the same. Wait, he is treating me like this. He does not want to see me, so why should I try to meet him? So my brother, we don't do anything for anyone else's sake. If we join ties with a relative, we are not doing it for his sake. We are doing it for the sake of Allah. And Allah is the same whether that person wants to meet you or he doesn't want to meet you. And Allah's command is the same as well. If we only keep ties with that person when he does the same to us, then we are not doing it for Allah, we are doing it for that person. The test and the sign that we are doing it for Allah is when that person cuts off ties with us and we carry on trying to maintain ties with him. That is a sign that no, we are doing it for Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, لَيْسَ الْوَاسِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي. The person joining ties, the person who has the quality of joining ties doesn't mean that he does like for like. Like for like meaning, the person who joins ties with him, he joins ties with him. That is not sign that he is wasil, that he joins ties of kinship. The sign that he joins ties of kinship is, إِذَا قُطِعَ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. When someone cuts off ties with him, for whatever reason, then he tries to maintain it. He goes out of his way to maintain it. So this is the third in the list. The person who does not have iman. Secondly, the person who has hatred in his heart. Thirdly, the person who cuts off ties from close relatives. Fourth, the one who is disobedient to his parents. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this list, and if you look through this list, you will realize these are all sins that have become very light in our mahon, in our culture, the person who is disobedient to his parents, he is in the blacklist as well. Number five, the person who leaves his garment below his ankles. The person who leaves his garment below his ankles. Now here I will mention, because this is also something which is taken very lightly. Once a musalli came, a musalli who is five times regular with salah, and probably performs the majority of salah in the masjid. And he came to me, and he said that before salah I was rolling up my trousers to make sure it was above my ankle. So he said this person was telling me, I think the person was an Arab or something, so he was trying to use signs to tell him off. So I didn't understand what he was trying to say. I'm not doing anything wrong. So I told him that the person is trying to tell you that it is not only in salah that you should have your trousers above your ankle. All the time you should have your trousers above your ankle. So he was not trying to say that you raising your trousers above your ankle in salah is incorrect. He was trying to say you leaving it below your ankle outside of salah is incorrect. So you know what the person told me? Okay, but at least I put it up in salah. We are being told this is the disobedience of Allah. Okay. This action seems very small, doesn't it? But from the ahadith we understand that this action creates pride in a person. And the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot be incorrect. So this action must create pride in a person. Yes, one is the person who does not do it intentionally. Maybe he's unaware of the ruling. Maybe his lower garment slips down. And this ruling that we are mentioning, this applies to any garment which hangs from below, hangs from above. This also applies to the jubba. If anyone is wearing an amama and the tail is so long that it reaches there, this also applies to that as well. So, and similarly to the garment below, to the lower garment, to the trouser. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put this person in this list as well. The person who leaves his garment below his trousers. And the final person, the person who is a habitual drunkard, who is addicted to alcohol. So this is a list that we need to stay away from every form of the disobedience of Allah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even consider these people for forgiveness on a night when millions if not billions are forgiven is a sign that these are very, very grave sins. One of the first things we need to do before this night comes, we need to be eligible for forgiveness before this night comes. So the first thing we need to do is make sure none of these sins are in our life. Alhamdulillah, we already have iman. Hatred for anyone should not be in our life. If there is hatred in our heart for a person, then a person should try to remove it. He should ask the ulama, how do I remove this from my life? And whilst he has the hatred in his life, he should make sure he does not act according to the hatred. What does this mean? Zayd has hatred for Hamid. That means Zayd will feel like doing his ghibah. So don't do his ghibah, praise him instead. Zayd has hatred for Hamid, that means he will not feel like meeting him. He will not feel like saying salam to him when he meets him. Say salam to him instead. Zayd has hatred for Hamid, that means he will not feel like raising his hands and making dua for Hamid. So the solution to remove that hatred is raise your hands and force yourself to make dua for Hamid. If there are any family ties that are disconnected, then we should try to connect them. Our job is to try. If the person does not respond, that is not our problem. But our job is to try for the sake of Allah. Similarly, if we feel that I am disobedient to my parents, then a person should ask for forgiveness from them. A person should not let his ego come in the way. What did I say? Whenever there is a right of someone else, then don't think you are fulfilling their right. I am doing something for them. No, I am doing something for Allah. So I am overcoming my ego, not for the sake of my parents, for the sake of Allah. I am overcoming my ego, not for the sake of my relative, for the sake of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thought might come to someone's mind that majority of us, Alhamdulillah, we can say our parents have done so much for us, so they deserve it. But let's say there is someone whose parents have not done, he thinks that my parents have not done anything for me, they don't deserve my obedience. So your parents don't deserve your obedience, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves your obedience, doesn't he? So for the sake of the obedience of Allah, then a person should be obedient to his parents. So obedience to one's parents. Intoxicants, a person should stay away from. So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we do not have anything in this list is not in our life. If it is, then we should try our utmost to remove it. If we feel that we cannot remove it, we should start making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away. If we look into our life, we will notice that when it comes to worldly matters, we always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we fall into a hole. When we fall into a hole in a worldly matter, we always make dua to Allah ta'ala. Someone in the family falls ill, seriously ill. Or we have dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens every day, multiple times every day. We have lost our job and we're struggling. The finances are looking like they do. Dua will happen every day from the bottom of the heart. But when we are stuck in a hole from a deeni point of view, meaning we have the sin in our life, we cannot remove it. How many times do we raise our hands for this in front of Allah Ta'ala? So if we have any of these in our life, we should remove them. If we cannot, we should start making an effort and start making dua to Allah Ta'ala. This is the first thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do is that we need to spend the night begins from Maghrib and it finishes at Subah Sadiq, beginning of Fajr time. So it begins at sunset and ends at beginning of Fajr time. We need to spend as much of this night in Ibadah as possible. A person should plan in advance. Plan in advance meaning a person should think that usually I go to sleep at this time. Usually after Isha I go to sleep at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. So on this night, let me sleep a bit extra in the afternoon the previous day. So I can do a bit more Ibadah there. Every person before the night comes should think, well, how am I going to spend the night? Not I am going to spend the night, well, how am I going to? I'm going to recite the Quran. How long can I recite the Quran for? I'm going to do dhikr. How long can I do dhikr for? A person should spend the night as well as possible. And the most important point in spending the night as well as possible is stay away from the disobedience of Allah. In Ramadan, what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about compulsory and nafil deeds? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says optional deeds give you the reward of a compulsory deed. And a compulsory deed gives you the reward of 70 compulsory deeds. From that, ulama have deduced that the difference between a compulsory deed and an optional deed in terms of reward is 70. And staying away from every disobedience of Allah is a compulsory deed. And this is times 70 any nafala. So for example, performing Maghrib Salah, compulsory. So in Maghrib, it's 3 rakats and 2 rakats, 5 rakats. So that 5 rakats gives you the reward of 70, minimum 70. 70 times 5 nafal. So the most important thing is stay away from the disobedience of Allah. On the 15th night of Shaban, a person should perform Maghrib Salah with Jama'ah, Isha Salah with Jama'ah. He should try to do so with care. Every person should try to perform the Tahajjud Salah that night. Tahajjud time, the ideal time for Tahajjud time is before Subah Sadiq. But Tahajjud time begins after you finish the Farad of Isha. So if a person feels, I cannot stay awake till that time, I cannot wake up at that time, then after Isha Salah, he should perform between 2 rakats and 8 rakats Tahajjud Salah. Nafal Salah, in pairs, and he will gain the reward of Tahajjud. He should spend as much of the night in optional Ibadah, and after that, whatever time is left, he should not waste it, he should go to sleep. If a person does this, then he will have appreciated the night. So this is the second thing we need to do. We need to spend the night well. The third thing of note is that although fasting in Sha'ban in general has been the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Aisha, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha says, after Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast the most in Sha'ban. So fasting in Sha'ban is recommended in general, from the first of Sha'ban till the 30th. Fasting in Sha'ban is more rewarding than fasting in the other 10 months, apart from Ramadan. Then, in every month, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person should fast the 13th, 14th, and 15th of the lunar month. So 13th, 14th, 15th of Muharram, a person should try to fast. 13th, 14th, 15th of Safar, a person should try to fast. So similarly, Sha'ban, 13th, 14th, 15th, a person should try to fast. For us, for the people whose night of the 15th is on Monday, that would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And for others, it would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This 13th, 14th, 15th, understand what I am saying very clearly. It is virtuous in every month. As for the fast of the 15th of Sha'ban itself, the ulama mentioned there is no authentic hadith or narration that mentions its virtue. There is a narration, but the vast majority of ulama have said that it is not authentic enough for a person to say that the 15th of Sha'ban holds special virtue. This is the next point to understand. And the final point, which we will finish with, is that there is also one narration which mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on 1/15th of Sha'ban in his life, on 1 year 15th of Sha'ban, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the night he went and visited the graveyard as well. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the ahadith, we don't find more than one example of this. So the ulama have said, one of, every year going to the graveyard, praying for the deceased on the 15th night of Sha'ban, that is not established from the sunnah. But what is established from the sunnah is one of. Maybe he goes this year and he doesn't go for the next four. One of a person goes to the graveyard and he makes dua for the deceased. He takes lesson from the deceased himself. So these are the few actions which surround the 15th of Sha'ban, which we have mentioned. Unfortunately, in our time, so many bid'at and so many actions which have no basis in the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indeed exist. So a person should doing something which doesn't have a basis in the ahadith, which is termed a bid'at, this is also a sin. So part of staying away from sin is that a person should also stay away from this. All that is established on the night is that a person, he should stay away from the list of sins in particular that we mentioned. In general, he should stay away from every disobedience of Allah and he should spend as much of the night in ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to spend as much of this night as wisely as possible. A person should think of it like this, that if I spend the night well, it will give me a very good platform to prepare for the month of Ramadan. If I spend this night well, before I was in recital, if I spend, it will start reciting the Quran this night. Before we go ahead, I should mention something. Today we have mentioned the night. But if a person has a good intention, has made a good intention today, that I wasn't reciting the Quran, I will start reciting from the 15th. Don't make that intention. Make the intention, I will start reciting from today. And I will increase it on the 15th night of Sha'ban. So, but if a person spends this one night well, then inshallah it will give him a good platform to prepare for the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Also, our regular Musalli and our Dr. Ashraf, who also sits in our programs. Many of you may not know him by name. He is always sitting on this wall, leaning on this wall. On Monday, when he was in the Sunday training class, he had a minor heart attack. So everyone is requested to make a dua for him, make dua for all those who are ill, but especially make dua for him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him complete cure, gives him full cure, complete cure, gives the doctors the tawfiq to treat him correctly and release him from hospital as soon as is possible. Ameen. Wa khair da'wana. Alhamdulillah.